KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in El Cervante.
I live in Emeryville.
I live in Antioch, California.
Potter's Creek.
Pleasant Hill.
I live in Albany, but Albany doesn't have neighborhoods.
Coming up, a young man reflects on a lifetime spent in the California foster care system.
Walking into court for my very last time as a foster youth, I feel like I'm getting a divorce from a system that I've been in a relationship with almost my entire life.
A story from our friends at Youth Radio. Then we'll be joined by their new executive director. We'll talk about how to teach kids about what fake news really is.
I see what we're doing as the preservation of truth-driven journalism.
Giving it up for the young people today on Cross Currents. Stay with us. Our first story today comes to us from our friends at Youth Radio. Noel Anaya spent his entire childhood in California's foster care system. He and his siblings entered when Noel was just 1 year old, and he stayed there until the age of 21, which is when California foster youths leave the system. He recorded his final court session, which officially recognized his exit, including a letter he read to the judge. Here's Noel in a story that Youth Radio produced earlier this year.
Walking into court for my very last time as a foster youth, I feel like I'm getting a divorce from a system that I've been in a relationship with almost my entire life. It's bittersweet because I'm losing guaranteed money for food and housing, as well as access to my social workers and lawyer. But on the other hand, I'm relieved to finally get away from a system that ultimately failed me on its biggest promise, that one day it would find me a family who would love me.
Good afternoon. Let's go on the record. This is line 6, the matter of Noel Anaya.
Noel.
Noel Anaya. Thank you.
You guys been saying it wrong for 21 years?
You know what? Everybody pronounces it differently.
So
thank you, though. I'm glad to know it's Noel.
Little things. Like when my judge, Shauna Schwartz, mispronounces my name, serve as a constant reminder that, hey, I'm just a number. I often come away feeling powerless and anonymous in the foster care system.
Well, I'm reviewing my notes, and it looks like the first time I got involved in your case was back in 2003. You've been in the system a long time.
I don't have any pictures of my 5 siblings and me together as babies. Not a single one, which makes Throwback Thursdays a little challenging. My biological parents weren't ready to be parents. My father was abusive. Eventually, Child Protective Services got involved, and my siblings and I went into the foster care system. We were separated and shuffled between foster homes, group homes, and shelters, and for at least one of my siblings, incarceration. That's why it was really important to me to make a statement in court, going on the record about how the foster care system failed my siblings and me.
I have to say, you have been pretty much one of our more successful young adults. Is there any advice you'd give us?
To whom it may concern, this is the year that I divorce you. Your gray hands can no longer hurt me. Your gray hands can no longer overpower me. Your gray hands can never tell me that you love me because it's too late. I use gray hands to describe the foster care system because it never felt warm or human. It's institutional, opposite the sort of unconditional love I imagine that parents try to show their kids. Your gray hands just taught me how to survive in a world. We never learned how to love ourselves unconditionally. I've been with multiple foster families. I've been with multiple shelters. How does a person like me not end up with the family? In an ideal world, being a foster kid is supposed to be temporary. When it's stable and appropriate, the preference is to reunite kids with their parents or family members. Adoption is the next best option. I used to dream of it. Having a mom, a dad, siblings to play with, a dog. But when I hit 12, I realized that I was getting old, that adoption would probably never happen for me. In the system, I constantly had new social workers, lawyers, and case managers, which left me vulnerable. It wasn't until I got older that I realized one of the main causes for the turnover was because of low wages and overflowing caseloads. My own lawyer says he's currently juggling 130 other clients. at 21, you happily kick us off to the curb and say, good luck. I wish you well. I wish you the best. But you can't come back because we can't take you in. I've seen too many of my people give up on the educational system.
I had hoped to finish college by the time I aged out of foster care. But I'm still in my junior year. I'm committed to getting my bachelor's, despite the odds being terrible.
I hope that you hear my words, and I hope that you listen to my signal of distress. I thank you for giving me closure. Thank you.
All right, well, thank you very much for being willing to share your feelings and your beliefs with us. So, you know, I know you have some, sounds like some mixed feelings about the foster care system, but Noelle, I have no doubt that you are going to be successful in whatever you choose to do. Well, let me say the magic words. I will adopt the findings and the orders on the JV 367.
As the judge reads her final orders closing out my case, I promise myself that I'll leave all the rage I feel about the foster care system inside the courtroom, that I won't carry that hate and frustration with me for the rest of my life.
But the dependency case will be dismissed. There will be no further reviews. All right, thanks. Let's go off the record.
There's one more thing I need before I leave the courtroom. For the judge to bring the gavel down on this chapter of my life.
Is that it? No hammer? No.
Okay. Want me to do
one,
the gavel?
One time for
all
the
right.
Please.
Hold in the gavel, hold on.
All right.
You know, we never do that in real life.
I felt goosebumps when the gavel slapped down on my judge's desk. Happy because I'm no longer cared for by a system that was never that good at actually caring for me. And I'm anxious, too, about what my life might be like next.
Take care.
You too. I'm glad I was able to come.
All right, you too.
That story was produced by Noelle Anaya and Youth Radio. Find more stories like that at youthradio.org. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. For a decade now, Youth Radio has trained the next generation of media professionals from their headquarters in Oakland. But now they want to take it to the national level. New executive director Jabari Gray believes it's more important now than ever to amplify the voices of the youth who are leading the fight against racism and prejudice. And they're doing it in part through the use of media that didn't even exist when most public radio listeners were their age. KLW's Ben Trefney sat down with Gray to talk about that, what youth radio is up to these days, and his plans to transform the organization into a national media leader.
So could you tell me about a success story of somebody who you've seen at Youth Radio in the years that you've been there?
Yeah, actually, Noelle Anaya, who is still in program. And
Noelle recently, just won a national award.
Yeah. So, somebody...
Tell me about that. Tell me about that journey and what Youth Radio facilitated for Noelle.
So Noelle came into our Digital Communication Pathways program. At the time, we were reserving 30% of the seats for young people who were in the child welfare system. And Noelle came through that door and then showed so much promise and interest in the rest of the programming that he started to do work with our newsroom team. Noelle was, again, he was somebody when you met him, you kind of just knew there was something special in store for that young person if they took advantage of the opportunities that were, you know, in front of them. And he did. And, you know, as it turns out, he's a wonderful storyteller, a great journalist, and a communicator. And I think that what we wanted to do was make sure that we avoided any kind of, like, posterization. You know, it's just a genuine perspective. He had basically spent his entire his entire life in the child welfare system. And so this was all about him aging out. And that particular story really took hold and people were really responsive, you know, to his experience.
So I want to play a clip from the Youth Radio website right now, because some of what you do is still radio, even though it's definitely multimedia. So this is something that was made in October, and it's a collection of young voices talking about the Me Too campaign. So first, let's give it a little listen.
I first heard about the hashtag Me Too from my mother, and she said it's this hashtag that's being used around sexual assault. And that kind of scared me because I have a lot of female friends that I care deeply about, and I was dreading, you know, going onto social media and finding out that they have also been affected.
Just as in the way it's alarming to see your parents cry, it's alarming to see that the adult world has more flaws than you expected.
As much as being woke is a trend right now, some things we just don't want to talk about. We should definitely take the time to talk to our friends about how we want to be treated and what's the plan if someone wants to take advantage of us in the outside world.
Why is it important to hear these voices to you? Why have you dedicated yourself to this?
That's a great question. If we're talking about the story of me, the reason is because when I was a young person, I felt that I needed to be heard myself. I felt that I had important things to say, that I was intelligent, that I was considerate of the world around me in a way that made me want to reflect on it publicly. So there's a personal connection to the mission and the activities. Stepping back as an adult now and taking a look at it, there's just a certain level of a commitment to a brighter tomorrow. You know, the accountability that we need to have to future generations is a real thing.
What kind of stories do you find young people want to tell?
They want to tell a really dynamic range of stories, and their own stories, reflections on who they are and what they're going through as an individual, to stories that maybe are based around certain groups or affiliations that they feel that they're a part of.
I mean, do you see it to be similar to what adults want to tell or what adults do tell in the media, or are there differences?
No, it's very similar. I think it's just that the perspective is coming from a different place. You know, it's everyone in my humble opinion has a desire to feel valued, be heard. You want to see that there is a place that you belong. I think that what we do as adults is very similar if we're talking about individual storytelling. When it comes to exposing the truth and really trying to navigate what's going on in the world, I don't think that's any different either. I just think that there's a level of information that we maybe have access to as adults more regularly than the young people do. And what we want to do at Youth Radio is tear down that wall. I don't think there's any reason that young people can't digest things that we are taking on as adults at all.
Well, what I find really interesting too, I mean, I have twin 15-year-olds myself.
Wow.
And what they see and the way in which they interact with media is quite different from the way that I certainly did when I was their age and even do now because of the different platforms through which they're getting their news, you know, getting news through Snapchat updates, which my son does all the time, obviously through their communities, through Instagram and other social media. And they are often just as informed, if not even more informed than I as news director at KALW am, just because of their digital nativity.
Right.
You know, and I think that there's something for adults too to learn then from the way in which kids are getting their information. And then of course, like what information they're getting.
Right, right. And that part is really hard to navigate, I think, sometimes when you want to make sure, especially in the information age, like things are coming at such a rapid pace and there's so much that young people, I can remember when I was young trying to do a school report, there was limited things you could do. You could go look at microfiche, you know what I mean? You could
pull out the encyclopedia.
Exactly. I mean, encyclopedias where? That used to be a dedicated section in people's house, right? Oh, that's where he put me, encyclopedias.
The world book.
Yeah, totally. But they have access to so much. Sometimes one worries about that, you know, filtering and things. But I think you just have to prepare young folks for the messaging that they're going to be receiving and the breadth of that, because you don't want to censor anything, but you got to tell young people how to navigate it.
Well, and so Youth Radio right now has this campaign, the Don't Get Faked campaign.
That's right.
And it's trying to sniff out fake news or help people do that. So I'm wondering, how did you think about putting something like that together so it appeals to young people?
That's really the, you know, the result of the Youth Radio model. We're not telling young people anything other than our level of expertise around how to create something. What that is a partnership between our adult producers working with young folks to create the actual the content and the platform itself. And so that's really just the brilliance of the model.
That's Jabari Gray. He is the executive director of Youth Radio. So I want to actually like kind of go through this a little bit. If we go to your website and we got the Don't Get Faked thing here. First off, I think that there's this video.
Right.
So we can check that out.
Whoa, look at this crazy article. I'm going to put it on my feed.
Are you sure? That looks pretty fake.
This is definitely real. Nobody's going to know.
I don't think that's such a good idea.
I'm going to post it anyway.
No! It is I, the fake news fairy. Don't you realize that's fake news? If you post that, then you're spreading lies.
I had no way of knowing.
You had no way of knowing? Where were you the whole time?
Come on. I tried to tell you.
Don't even try it.
I had no way of knowing.
Don't worry, I'll show you how with these instructions.
All right, so that guy just popped out under the desk with these two who are sitting there. But then there's this test your BS detector
right
on the site, right? So I want to do this quiz a little bit here. So we're going to start it. So first we got a picture of Donald Trump, young Donald Trump. And it says, quote, if I were to run, I'd run as a Republican. They're the dumbest group of voters in the country. They believe anything on Fox News. I could lie and they'd still eat it up. I bet my numbers would be terrific. That's from Donald Trump, People Magazine, 1998, it says. So, this graphic went viral on social media but was debunked. What should make you doubt it? And then there's these four options for us. So
right.
A, the font looks too formal. It looks like Times New Roman.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm obviously a geek because I know that. B, no link to an original post. C, the date. Or D, the cheesy photo of young Donald Trump. What do you think it is, Jabari?
Well, I'm an insider, but I will tell you what I chose the first time, and I was incorrect. I went with the cheesy photo. And I guess I just brought all my baggage to the quiz, but I didn't even think that that was actually Donald Trump. I mean, he looked so young and slim there. I thought that that was completely doctored up. But I think that the real answer is no link to an original post.
All right, check answer. Good job. The font, date, and photo are not the problem. It's the lack of a source. Anyone can Photoshop words on top of an image. Memes like this can originate from satire sites, hacked accounts, or tabloids that make stuff up so you grab them while paying for toilet paper. Beware. So yeah, I mean, what's your purpose of doing this kind of thing? And like, you know, how does this fit into Youth Radio's mission?
Yeah, so obviously fake news is a big issue, but I think that what we're really looking at on a grander scale is what is happening to erode democracy by way of attacking the Fourth Estate. So when I take a look at what Youth Radio's role is for a better tomorrow, a healthier society, then I see what we're doing as the preservation of truth-driven journalism. At least let's just tell the truth. Let's start there.
So you guys have a 4-year strategic plan.
That's correct.
You know, you're coming in new to this position with the job of implementing that, right? So what are you looking to accomplish?
It's no small feat, but we are establishing the first formalized youth news network in the country. And so at this point, we want to spread the opportunity to other communities around the country without building a youth radio everywhere.
So would that be based in newsrooms around the country, whether it's like digital or audio or visual, or would it be in schools or some combination?
That's a great question. It's a combination. So, for instance, if there was another CBO, like out-of-school media agency that had a youth component or was a youth-driven organization, that could be one kind of partner. And individual correspondents can be partners as well. So young folks who maybe already have some qualified journalism chops and are kind of out there on their own, they could be contributors as well. And these are all paid things that happen. So when a young person's piece gets run, they get paid, you know, and that's, and I want to underscore that because I really feel like it's important when we're talking about youth media and the value of it for us as adults. I think there's a small paradigm, you know, shift that we need to make in terms of saying these young folks are our peers in this space. They get paid the same way you get paid, you know, so that we shouldn't treat youth contributors any differently than we treat adult ones if they're winning Peabody's and DuPont's and all these awards that their material, you know, Third Coast, all of this stuff that they're actually out there doing.
Which youth radio reporters have done.
Exactly. And so, you know, we have to honor them the way that we do our adult peers in the space.
So around the country, how many of these youth reporters or newsrooms are there right now?
So there are a total, at my last count, 120, and that's a combination of...
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's great. 60 individual correspondents around the country and 50 agencies that are working with us to produce content from around the country.
So since this is a four-year strategic plan, and where do you see, if things work out, youth radio and your work to be, or how do you see it fitting into the media landscape we're used to?
The goal is habitual consumption. You know, if someone is on their phone and they're getting, you know, updates from the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, and, you know, and I know that this is shooting for the stars, but I don't think that we're that far away, to be quite frank. I want them to also have those updates from youth radio. So, you know, and it's fun to be talking about what this other level of amplification can be, knowing that we're headquartered here in the Bay Area and that this conversation is beginning with partners like you.
Right on.
Absolutely.
That was Jabari Gray, the new executive director of Youth Radio based in Oakland. He spoke with KALW's Ben Trefney. That piece was produced by Lilia Vega. If you'd like to see what's going on at Youth Radio or maybe get involved, check out their website, youthradio.org. That's it for our show today. The Cross Currents team includes Asal Ehsanipour, Nina Gensler-Debs, Raquel Maria Dillon, Lisa Morehouse, Zaina Nasser, Stephen Short, Andrew Stelzer, and Josh Wilson. Our engineers are James Rollins, Gabe Graben, and Jackie Sajiko. Our line producer is Hannah Kingsley-Ma. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. Today's local music is by the Tammy Hall Trio. You can hear them at the Joe Henderson Lab in the San Francisco Jazz Center on Sunday. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.